Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackman, and sitting next to me is Mr. James Bunnell. James.
Alan.
Last night there was a defensive showdown.
There was.
You might say. It's you one might. Way to look at what happened.
It is.
Which is to say, not a lot of points were scored.
True.
In fact, I feel like, and I have not looked this up in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
I feel like there were many fewer points scored last week than normal.
Than there should have been.
With the exception of your team, of course.
Yes. Well, so someone had to take up the slack.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah. And it's good to see you guys doing that and beating up on that poor Saints defense and maybe getting Rob Ryan fired.
Oh yeah, he's fired.
Is that actually true? Because he got fired and then there was an announcement that he wasn't fired and then
I'm pretty sure he's been fired, but we'll do some research outside the podcast and get back to you listeners, but
in any case, he probably should be fired because they let down a lot of points.
Yeah.
A ridiculous number.
They let up 40. Now, okay. My side of the argument, of course, is that Washington's offense is perfectly capable of scoring 47 points against any defense. But
any
I realize
defense.
That that's a somewhat insane statement to make.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were on record or on pace to beat the most passing touchdowns allowed record by, like, an enormous margin.
Yeah.
It was going to be, like, it's currently held by someone from, like, the AFL.
Yeah.
From, like, forever ago, and they were, like, prepared to miss it by, like, 10 or 15 more touchdowns. It's not good. It's not a good situation.
Yeah, I'm seeing here that since 1990, Rob Ryan's defenses have let up more points per game and more yards per game than any other defensive coordinator.
Which I think we talked about when we talked about the Saints, which we already did, I believe. So
yeah.
There you go. We predicted it, you might say.
Yep, you heard it first here.
James, today we are previewing two boring teams. Might be a short podcast.
Yeah.
We've got the Chargers, we've got the Chiefs. Which one of us is supposed to go first?
I guess it's me, right?
I think it's you as well.
You went first last time.
I believe that's true. So, James, what do you have for us about the Kansas City Chiefs? The recently having defeated their rival Broncos.
Yeah. No, they're looking. I mean, they're.
End of Peyton Manning's career.
Yes, and ending Peyton Manning's career. That may be truer than
we'd like to think. It's kind of sad. But the point is.
The point is, here's what I have about Kansas City. This one was a tough one. I worked hard on this one. You'll see why in a second. All right. Peters picks passes while Houston hits hurlers hard. Jousting. Yeah. I couldn't think of a J word that meant tackle, so we got jousting instead. So anyway, I've named three players. And
nice.
I've named those three players because they're the only three players that matter on this defense, basically.
I disagree. Well, I should disagree because I was going to say Dontari Poe, but now I'm looking at it and he hasn't been good. It's some other guy's been good.
Yep.
Jay Howard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's right
good
then.
He's in the middle of DTs, which is like...
Yeah.
I mean,
he's a serviceable DT.
But yeah, I mean, so, but, you know, Peters has four interceptions on the year.
It's pretty good.
He's only being bested by 107-year-old Charles Woodson in that category.
And the great Josh Norman?
Oh, and the great...
Tied
with the great Josh Norman. Justin Houston has 7.5 sacks. He's like third in the league.
Yeah,
pretty
good.
He's doing great. And Derek Johnson has a nearly ungodly number of tackles. I think 50 solo tackles and a few extra
yikes
assisted tackles on the season. He's, I mean, tackling machine. That's what they say.
Yeah, he doesn't get much else, but
no, that's literally all
tackles.
That he does. But consistent tackles. That's what we like in our linebackers. Consistent tackles. As far as their real world defense goes, it's a little bit confusing. They're pretty bland in just about every statistical category except for two that I have noticed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are in the good five. I don't know, top or bottom doesn't make sense with what I'm about to say, but the best five of plays run against them.
Okay.
Right? So they're not, they either aren't on the field much or they end drives quickly.
Okay.
And Kansas City has returned more punts than any team in the NFL, which means that their defense is stopping people in good enough field position that they're actually able to return punts. So those are my thoughts on that, is that their defense seems to be solid. Sort of, you know, very much one of these bend but don't break, but maybe not bend as much as other teams
do. That jibes with how I feel about defense. That team.
And it's actually, you know, they're 4-5 right now, but I was looking at their points totals over the for the season, and they've got a positive run differential by about 30, basically.
Okay.
They're playing like two games under their expected win.
Interesting. So they might actually be good.
They might actually be a
good
team.
You know, it's like a third of the league is at 4-5, specifically.
Yeah, wow.
It's a lot of teams. It's like 10 or 12 teams.
It's a strange league. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think Kansas City's in pretty good shape defensively. I think, again, they've got about three players that are worth owning in fantasy.
Okay.
And if Alex Smith, I don't know, it could just do something other than manage the game.
Yeah.
They might be amazing.
Yep. That makes sense. All right. Chargers?
Chargers. What you got for us?
I think you're going to like this. It's kind of depressing. I'm the only one who even saw this happen. They are past their bye. You might say, why? Why am I the only one? And the answer is because I think there's a legitimate chance that in most defensive leagues, leagues that play defensive players, no Chargers are starting.
Yeah.
I mean, we believe in Eric Weddle. We recommended him as a pickup a couple weeks ago. His player rank is lower because he missed a couple games.
Yes.
Eric Weddle is a startable player.
Absolutely.
From this team. Yeah. I legitimately think that he is the only one.
That's probably true.
I like Melvin Ingram, but he's a sack player.
Yeah.
And you're dependent on sacks for him to get enough for you to be happy with him.
Yeah.
We liked Monte Teo when he came into the league, but he's never actually done it.
It's true. He also appears to be hurt.
And he's also hurt, so that's not great.
Couple 4 weeks there.
Brandon Flowers, I think, is a very good cornerback, but doesn't score points. He's
right.
In that club.
He's
and that's
too
it, right?
For fantasy. Yeah, you know, else is, there's nobody else on that defense.
Yeah, what's weird is that Donald Butler used to be a guy. Right, he
yeah.
used to be a guy who was putting up tackle numbers, and it just hasn't happened this year. And somehow, just no one's putting up tackle numbers this year.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
There's no great reason for that.
Yeah.
If you look at them, they have the most plays run against them, or it looks like...
The fewest plays run against them. Well, that would explain that.
Yeah, so they have the fewest plays run against them. That's interesting, and something I had missed before. So that could be it. They just literally aren't getting enough tackles. But what's strange is that their defense is bad.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Unlike the Chiefs, who you're saying they have few plays run against them, but they're good.
Yeah,
they're actually not good. Like they're at the bottom, certainly third, but even more than that, they're like bottom seven or so in rushing defense, passing defense, all the things we normally look at.
Well, so
except for plays, which I totally missed.
So let me lay this theory on you right now. Kansas City don't get a lot of plays run on them because they're good and they force three and outs.
Uh-huh.
San Diego doesn't get a lot of plays run against them because they're bad and teams score on them in three or four plays.
There you go.
Good drive.
I'm willing to accept it. Or maybe there's a weird special teams thing happening is possible.
Possible.
They've had their bye already, so that's a small piece of it. But again, most teams have.
Also, now, their offense is pretty time grindy.
It's
know?
True. And they
Phillip Rivers and all the underneath dinky dunk stuff that San Diego is quite good at. Not saying that's a bad style of offense,
yep.
but their offense uses time. Their
that's
offense
true.
Takes time off the clock.
And we saw that with the Cowboys last year, where they had very few players who wound up good just because their games were basically shorter.
Yes.
Because
yeah.
they ran so much.
The defense
that the time
doesn't get
came
on the field so much.
Yeah. So that's it. All right. We've got good theories there.
I'd say so. Some top quality analysis for you, listeners.
Yeah. If only we had it off the bat instead of figuring it on the fly. But that's okay. We don't need to do it.
That's
advance.
How good we are, listeners.
All right, James, let's do a couple pickups in this podcast. There's got to be someone
God,
worth
hope
picking
you
up,
have
right?
something to say for this, because I mean, oh boy.
So here's what one thing I will say is that I am actually somewhat optimistic about Dallas's players in general.
Yeah.
I think that with Tony Romo coming back, which he finally is, you will be better off with a player like Barry Church, who's been disappointing so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Lee, if he's healthy, You know, these guys, mm-hmm. I think, are going to score more just because their opponents are going to have to try a little harder than yeah. they've had to recently. So, I'm somewhat optimistic. You know, you, depending on your league depth, Barry Church and Sean Lee might be available. They may have been dropped. If not, you know, like, I would be willing to give a shot to someone like Brandon Carr, assuming that you don't worry about morals in your thing. I would yeah. be willing to give a shot to Greg Hardy, because I just think they're going to have more opportunities for sacks and interceptions now that Romo's back, and they're not grinding out 6-10 losses against Tampa Bay.
Yes, I think that's definitely a good... It's yeah. all good advice right there.
So that's kind of a general purpose pickup yeah. recommendation.
In that vein, I think going with the firing of Rob Ryan, right? I think if you're, let's say you're in a league and you need something to shake up your team, and you've gotten mm-hmm. kind of desperate at this point because teams have solidified, no one's getting trades, and you're looking for that thing that can shake your team out of mediocrity. Trust New Orleans players again. Here's my theory. No one liked playing for Rob Ryan because his defensive schemes were either insanely complicated or just, like,
not very
you know,
good.
Apparently bad. You know, obviously bad. So the players who were playing in them just weren't even trying mm-hmm. at this point. So stats are bad. Now, he's gone. Maybe like what happened in Philadelphia or in Miami, where we get to see...
Yeah, a little bounce back.
A little bounce back, right? Maybe next this week is the week where all the New Orleans players show up and you get, like... Hawali Kikaha comes back and he yep, turns and into finally, the linebacker that we thought he was, right? Brandon Browner comes back and is an awesome cornerback again.
That one's not happening, but
might happen.
It could happen.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. And if we're going to do teams, let me do one more.
Yeah.
Let me hit you with this one. Here's a team that I would be discounting a little bit, and yeah. that's New England.
Ah.
Let me tell you why. I think they're going to be running more. I think as we get into this portion of the year,
yeah.
when it gets colder, they always run a little more in this time of the year.
That's true.
Combine that with losing Julian Edelman.
Right.
I think they're going to want to run the ball a little more. And, you know, it's hard to predict with New England because they adjust their plans so much.
Yeah.
But I just think, you know, I think they're going to be scoring a little less without Edelman. I think they're going to be running a little more. And I think they're just going to eat up time a little more. And I just don't... I don't see them getting as many interceptions, as many sacks, all that kind of stuff. I think is going to be down over the next years. I'm relatively low on New England, and I know I've done that to my peril in past weeks, but nonetheless, I'm doubling down on it.
There you go. That's the way to do it. That's how we roll on this podcast.
Yep. Yeah.
So this week we're offering
general thoughts about defenses.
Yes, to adapt to your team. We're not going to tell you at this point.
Well, it's too random, you know? Anyone can be available.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's you're professional enough at this point that you don't benefit from being told which players to pick up. We need to give you the tools to make the decisions
exactly.
for yourself. And that's what that's the kind of second-level analysis we bring here at the Impenetrable Fortress podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Eliza by Ned and the Dirt. I believe their tour is actually really over this time for real.
For real's over this
their
time.
Their album still exists and is available.
That is good.
And is good. James, did you prepare a hit of the week? Because I've got one, but usually you do this.
No, it's you take it away, man.
All right. I believe the hit of the week goes to Catch Rules.
Oh,
this happens about yes. once a year. I think it's out of control.
It's gone crazy.
You know, there's been a lot written about it this week because there's just been a couple notable was it a catch, wasn't it a catch situations between the Giants and the...
Yeah.
A couple of them. I mean, you probably know. But I think that's the hit. You know, I mean, like, you
Definitely.
Know, you can say you can give the hit of the week to the guy who knocked the ball out of... Odell Beckham's hand
yes.
At the end.
Hand. Or Landon Collins.
You can give it to Landon
to
Collins,
that.
Dropping
yeah.
it and... Yeah, dropping that game-winning interception. All those are available. But, man, I really think the situation with deciding what is a catch is gotten to be out of control.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous when a playoff game last year is decided by one of these garbage catch-not-a-catch rules, and they don't do anything to fix it, and now we're getting even more of it in the regular season, and it's just like, how can this not be apparent that this is an issue that needs to be resolved almost
immediately? Well, the thing is, they've tried, and they've been tweaking the rule every year, and I think it's getting worse, not better.
Here's another page where we can take we can take a page out of baseball's books. Baseball is not opposed to amending rules mid-season if the situation is bad.
The NFL is not going to do that.
I know. There's no chance. Like, there's precedent, guys. It can be done.
All right.
It's just that's why you can't run the bases backwards.
I don't even know if it's legal for the NFL, because they have. It may not even be legal for them to change the rules in the middle of the year. Yeah. I don't even know.
It's okay.
But anyway, I think we've discussed this a little bit, the catch rules. We might discuss it more next week, but something has to be done. And
yeah.
We have some ideas about that, but we're not going to do them right now. We might do them next week.
That's true.
I want a little more time to think about it and come with a proposal.
Yeah.
You know?
Write a white
paper.
A
specific proposal on how it should work.
You got to shop it around.
Indeed. And that's what we'll do. So next week, you know, if we remember next week.
Yeah.
Which probably won't.
If we remember next week.
We will,
sometimes
though.
I forget weeks.
Because
sometimes
be more.
Weeks just vanish.
Yeah, it's
like,
tricky.
Whoa, what happened to next week?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, man.
It's gone. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Time is a tricky thing.
Yeah, well, the Rolling Stones wrote that song about Tuesday being gone.
About time keeping
once.
On slipping.
Oh, yeah,
slipping
that's it. That's, I'm pretty sure that's the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds pretty rolling.
It does. Yeah.
Rocking in a rolling. All right, anyway, now that we've made... anyone still listening mad? Anyone that cares about 80s/60s music?
Yeah, that's right.
We'll pick other music to make people mad about. Maybe that should be a segment.
That's
at the
a new
end.
Segment at the end of every podcast.
Say something wrong about music and see if someone writes in. Podcast at alanjackaway.com is how you write in.
Yeah.
If you're angry that we got something wrong about music or anything else, but
if you have something you would like us to get wrong about music.
Sure, we can do that. We can we'll take listener submissions for that segment.
Absolutely.
That'll do it from Alan
and James.
Stay low.